From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called A Picture of a Christ-Centered Life, part of this series of studies in the Book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection known as Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Gracious Dealing. The text is Deuteronomy 15, verse 18. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. An Israelitish master was to give his bondservant liberty in due time. And when he left his service, he was to start him in life with a liberal portion. This was to be done heartily and cheerfully. And then the Lord promised to bless the generous act. The spirit of this precept, and indeed the whole law of Christ, binds us to treat work people well. We ought to remember how the Lord has dealt with us, and that this renders it absolutely needful that we should deal graciously with others. It becomes those to be generous who are the children of a gracious God. How can we expect our great Master to bless us in our business if we oppress those who serve us? What a benediction is here set before the liberal mind. To be blessed in all that we do is to be blessed indeed. The Lord will send us this partly in prosperity, partly in content of mind, and partly in a sense of His favor, which is the best of all blessings. He can make us feel that we are under His special care and are surrounded by His peculiar love. This makes this earthly life a joyous prelude to the life to come. God's blessing is more than a fortune. It maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow therewith.
To sing, how
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Text for our message is found in chapter 18 and verse 1 of the book of Joshua. Having finally completed their conquest of the land of Canaan, the children of Israel gathered at Shiloh, where they set up the tabernacle. Shiloh became the center of the nation's spiritual life. Earlier, Dr. Cairns explained that the tabernacle is the fullest and most perfect type of Christ in the Scriptures. It was constructed according to the pattern that God gave to Moses. Therefore, it clearly and powerfully sets forth God's pattern for a Christ-centered life. God commands the lives of His people to be centered around the Lord Jesus and not around material things or even around loved ones. As they began to settle down in their conquered territory, the children of Israel faced the danger of being so taken up with the land that they would forget the Lord. But the Lord must be at the very center of the Christian's life, and this is not optional. Then we'll see that the Lord enables His people to live a Christ-centered life. As the Lord's presence dwelt in the tabernacle, so the individual believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the power to live for God is resident in each Christian. The life of the church, as well as that of the individual believer, is to be lived by a true confession of the faith of the gospel. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called A Picture of a Christ-Centered Life.
The Lord commands us to live a Christ-centered life. A self-centered life is not an option for a Christian. A world-centered life is not an option for a Christian. Let me go even further. A family-centered life is not an option for a Christian. You will ruin yourself. You will ruin your family. You will ruin your business. You will ruin anything that you make the center of your life. These things can only be in a proper relationship to a Christian as his life is centered on the person and his own Redeemer. Christ is never to be on the periphery of life. Christ is at the very heart of our lives. He will not occupy some anteroom in our heart. He occupies the throne of our heart. Otherwise, you're either not saved or backslidden. For the Lord commands his people to live a Christ centered life. And just as it was unthinkable for Israel to take the tabernacle and pitch it down deep in the southern desert and say, well, at least we have got the tabernacle up. It was unthinkable. It had to be where God wanted it, right in the heart of the nation. So it is unthinkable for a Christian to have Christ anywhere but at the center of his life. God commands a Christ-centered life. But then, secondly, the Lord enables his people to live a Christ-centered life. You see, this is the great significance of the tabernacle in the midst of the nation. It was not raised at the command of man. It was not raised because Joshua had the bright idea. It was done at the command of God. It was placed there in God's will. In other words, it was a declaration from God to his people at that time. It was a wonderful proclamation. I am in the midst. In other words, as they lived their life around it, they were knowing the power and the blessing and the enablement of God to live as he wanted them to live. And this is a very simple thing, but again, it's very important. The Lord not only tells us what to do, he gives us, if we're saved in the gospel, he gives us the wherewithal to do it. Think for a moment of what we see in our text. The life of the Christian as a Christ-centered life is first of all a life that is lived around the faith of the gospel. Now follow me carefully here. That tabernacle, as I said at the beginning, proclaimed the faith of Israel. When they raised the tabernacle, they were saying to heaven, earth, and hell, the Lord, he is God. Not only so, they were saying the Lord is our God. The nations round about worship a variety of gods and idols. We repudiate them all. The Lord is our God. Furthermore, they were testifying and proclaiming their faith that the Lord is the sovereign ruler of all, and he is the sovereign disposer of all. He has expelled the Canaanites, and he has brought in the Israelites according to his own sovereign will and disposition. But most of all, they were proclaiming their faith that he is gracious. He has revealed himself to us and given us his word. He has redeemed us and made us his people. He has given us this rich inheritance in the land. And he has given us his tabernacle, his dwelling place in our midst, through which we have a way of approach to the holiest of all through our great high priest. We have his altar. Their faith was proclaimed. We believe in his sacrifice. We believe in the blood of his altar. We believe in the mediation of his priesthood. We believe in all the grace of God shown us in this tabernacle. The children of Israel lived their lives around that confession of faith. Now let me make this point to you. A Christ-centered life is first and foremost a life that is lived around the faith of the gospel. Take this on a church level for a start. The church must make Christ the center of its message and ministry. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He then said, we preach Christ. What is happening in many churches today is that some have taken liturgy and they have substituted their liturgy for Christ. There are others and they have taken all sorts of spine-tingling experiences and they have substituted experiences for Christ. There are others and they have substituted crowds for Christ. They have substituted mass meetings of mutual support like you get in great crusades or in the abomination that's now known as Promise Keepers, which is apostasy at its very worst. The most abominable apostasy that evangelicalism has produced in the last 50 years. And it's been substituting this great mass appeal of mutual support for Christ. The idea is you can have a Christ-centered life without having an honest heart belief in the central tenets of the Christian faith. That's the great ecumenical apostasy of the last days. Doesn't matter what you believe about the virgin birth of Christ, you can still have a Christ-centered life. That's their theory. I tell you, it's of the devil. Doesn't matter what you believe about the person of the Savior. Since I've mentioned the Promise Keepers, I'll just finish off what I was saying. When you substitute anything for Christ, there's no end to the apostasy. And when you have some of the greatest, best-known evangelical leaders in America giving out hundreds of thousands of copies of a book that says our blessed, sinless, spotless Savior struggled with homosexual desire, you know you're dealing with apostasy. And I don't care what evangelical leader gives his name to this. This is born in hell. It is an apostasy of the worst sort. It is not Christ-centered. That's straight. That's plain. I want to tell you, when it comes to people who put their filthy little hands on the sinless, spotless name and nature of the Son of God, I will be plainer yet. I feel like David when Saul's daughter said that he was vile. He said, well, if I have been vile, I'll be viler yet. My, how filthy this is. The ecumenical apostasy wants us to believe we can all have a great Christ-centered church. We can have the Pope, we can have the Mass, we can have auricular confession, we can have the doctrine of purgatory, we can have all these things along, if you want, with a little bit of Luther and a little bit of Calvin and a little bit of somebody else. You can have all these things and have a Christ-centered church. Let me tell you, you can't do it. if you don't have a Christ-centered faith. Christ-centered life is lived around the faith of the gospel. The church must send forth an unambiguous message to the world. An unambiguous message. There's a little phrase that has become very popular, and it is just another one of the catchphrases of the ecumenical apostasy. I was sad to see that our evangelical and, before he was elected, professedly fundamentalist governor had sunk into the same abyss. Instead of talking about Christians and Christian faith, Christian belief, we now talk about people of faith. They may be Hindus, they may be Muslims, they may be Jews, they may be apostates, they may be Romanists, they may be Protestants, they may be deniers of Christ, they may be upholders of Christ, they may be Unitarians, they may be Trinitarians. They may even be American Indians worshiping their ancestors. They're all people of faith. What? Are they? And then it's backed up by that great inventor of all things wonderful, George Gallup. And the Gallup polls will come along and tell us that doctors find that faith is very helpful. And prayer is very helpful. You heal better. Your metabolism's much better. Your digestion's better. You've less chance of a stroke or a heart attack. Of course, it doesn't matter who your God is. It doesn't matter to whom you pray. It's all equally beneficial. The ecumenical apostasy is sending a very uncertain sign to the world. We're living in a day of delusion. And I want to tell you, and I trust that we will never forget it. In this day of delusion, the need for the Christian church is to put the silver trumpets of the gospel to its lips and to sound forth a message that cannot be misunderstood. The old gospel, the old biblical message, the exaltation of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Justification by free grace through faith in the merits of Christ. Acceptance with God by a righteousness which is not of our own making, but is the free gift that God gives us in and through the Savior. That message, ye must be born again. Repent and believe the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That message needs to be preached with all the power that we can obtain from our exalted Lord. Christian, Christ-centered life must be lived around a true confession of faith. Otherwise, it is not a Christian life or a Christ-centered life. You see, even on a personal and individual level, as well as on the church level, John makes it clear in his first epistle that a biblical confession is the mark of a true believer, without which a person is not a Christian at all. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Who is a liar? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. This is the mark of a true believer. The point is that true spiritual experience goes hand in hand with biblical orthodoxy. Christ-centered life is lived around the faith of the gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.